and welcome. You're listening to the Genesis Podcast, the official podcast of the Genesis Community Church in Upland, California. It is our goal to inspire one another to change the world by effectively living in the way of Jesus. Check out our website, thegenesisstory.com. There, you can learn more about us, where and when we meet, ways to invest and support, but most importantly, how to get connected. Thank you for spending time with us today.
Good morning, everybody. I was going to turn my head, and then I realized the microphone's connected to my head, so going to start with some announcements. The first one is that you guys might be aware that there is a memorial service tonight. And there is the information for Samuel Jr. It's in Chino and 5 o'clock. And Sam sent a video last week to make sure that everybody knew that they're invited. So if you weren't here, if you missed that, there's the information for tonight's memorial service. And then our other announcement is the weekly one where I stand up here and beg for money. So there's some ways you can give to keep the lights on here and keep our work going. And so if you feel so obliged, support Genesis. I'd like to just start. We're going to pray one more time. Father, we thank you so much for loving us. We thank you so much for your presence and your spirit. And help us to understand what that looks like in our lives. Help us to embrace the Holy Spirit. And as we talk today about Holy Week and Palm Sunday, I pray that it's not just more of the same stuff we've always heard, and in some way you take this and make it useful for us in a way that makes us want to live more like Jesus. And we offer this time to you in his name. Amen. So the Lenten season started this year on Valentine's Day. Did you guys know that? Ash Wednesday was Valentine's Day. That's a conflict of interest. And it finishes at the end of this week, so next Saturday is the last day of Lent. And today is Palm Sunday, the first day of Holy Week. Someone said that Holy Week is like a lifetime in miniature. And he explained it by saying, I mean, it has everything that your life, what you would want for a good story, right? It's got celebration, it's got party, it's got conflict. There's a lot of drama. There's some suspense. There's some sadness. And then there's more celebration. It's a lifetime in miniature. All within the hours of a week, we see the parade of Palm Sunday turn sour within just a few days, to the point where the crowd that was cheering, Hosanna, hail him, hail to him. And then this changed with, you know, this story, we've heard this a million times, right, to crucify him, nail him, because he didn't live up to the expectation that they had placed on him. Did you guys know that for 3,000 years, bloodletting was the number one, the number one treatment for most sicknesses? 3,000 years. If you had a cold, you need to let some blood out, and they'd bleed you. No matter what the sickness was, that was the cure for so long. And it went on even in spite of deaths, because too much blood was let out. They'd bleed people dry, literally. 3,000 years, the scientific community didn't question it. Why? Or this is the best we got, this is the best we can do. Isn't that wild? 3,000 years is a long time to keep failing. That has nothing to do with what I'm talking about. No, actually it does, in that this. just because a majority of people believe something does not make it true. And so for 3,000 years, I almost could not believe that that was true. And you guys can go Google it later. But bloodletting was a go-to medical practice. And it still is for some things where they do know that this is helpful. But they used it for everything. And it's pretty wild that they were that wrong. I want to let that idea of a lifetime in miniature sink in. That idea that all these things happen in 1 week in the life of Jesus, in the life of his disciples, in the life of the people that were there experiencing the week as it played out. Life, I think, like Holy Week, comes at us fast. And I don't know why it's been, you know, the last 4 years just feel like a lot. I don't know if it's just, you know, I know that since COVID, everything has been different maybe, and it just feels like a lot more. Like, it's coming at me at warp speed. And these things happen. You know, you lose a job. You get sick. You get in a relationship-ending fight with a friend over politics. You lose a loved one far, far too soon. Eventually, I think we face our own version of Holy Week in our lives. In the scriptures, we know that there was darkness before there was light. In our lives, we know that there is pain before there is birth. And whenever you're going through your own Maundy Thursday and you're tempted to give up, you have to ask yourself, is this how I want my story to end? Because this isn't the final act. And we know, in hindsight, we know because we have the Bible, that what happened in Holy Week leading up to the crucifixion of Jesus isn't the end of the story. But when it's happening in real time to these people, these real lives, they experienced it much differently. When I was a kid, maybe some of you guys can relate to this, when the ushers would hand out a palm frond to everybody who walked in the foyer, right? Like, everybody got one. And that frond would serve as a total distraction to me for the hour-long mass that was about to happen. And I would try to make an airplane or a car out of it or whatever. I remember seeing some of the kids that were older than me, far more craftier than me, and they would make little crosses out of their palm frond. And they would shape it cruciform. That palm leaf shaped like a cross. And I didn't realize it then because I was 5 or 6, but the symbolism of that is so beautiful. And I have a quote from Rachel Held Evans. She says, "The tradition of folding a palm frond into the shape of a cross powerfully illustrates the kingdom message of Jesus as a symbol of royalty, as a symbol of royalty becomes a symbol of sacrifice. This simple action reminds us that the victory of Jesus did not take the shape of a forceful triumph, but of humility, and that our citizenship in the kingdom of God demands we do the same." I taught Palm Sunday last year, and I think the funniest part for me is as soon as I was done, Julianne was here, and she said, "Well, you did it." I was like, I don't know if that's a compliment or not. And she said, "Well, when you started, I thought, oh, we're going to do Palm Sunday, like I've always done Palm Sunday." And she's like, "But you surprised me." So I don't know. I still don't know if that was a compliment or not. But this is my second year in a row of having the honor of standing up here on Palm Sunday. And both years, last year and this year, I intended to bring palm fronds for y'all, and I delayed to the point where they were all sold out everywhere and I couldn't find any. But it's the thought that counts, right? They call today, they call it the triumphant entry, and they call this week Holy Week, and man, I don't know why we stick to those phrases that are not even in the text of the Bible. They might be in your Bible, the triumphant entry. I don't know when I think about it that it was that triumphant. The scene is familiar. Jesus rides in on a lowly donkey. And on the other side of town, Pontius Pilate rides in on a noble steed. So the contrast is there. The drama happens. Jesus representing peace. The Romans representing force and control. The people, they were already in a festive mood because it's the great Passover celebration. And by some accounts, the population went from, 20 to 30,000 people up to 150,000 people as everybody pilgrimaged into town for this celebration. And so it was a party. It was like March Madness in Vegas. People from all over Mesopotamia arrived for the celebration. And because these are faithful Jews, you know that they understood what was happening when Jesus came riding on a donkey, because it was prophesied in Zechariah 9. He's essentially saying, this is my kingdom, and I'm bringing it forward. And so the people are shouting out, right? And it depends on if you're reading from Matthew or Luke, but this idea is Hosanna. Save us. We beg, save us. They quoted from Psalm 118, 25, and 26. Save us, we beseech you, O Lord. O Lord, we beseech you, give us success. And in that, they were being true to form that what they're thinking is, deliver us from Rome. That's the success they were asking for. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. They called him king, and they had that part right. But their expectations for King Jesus were that he would set them free from the oppression, the daily challenges that they faced as subjects to the Roman Empire. And so as they're celebrating this, right, they're thinking, here it comes. This is revolution. We're ready to pick up our swords, and you're going to lead us because you are our king. And they're accepting that fact, but they don't understand what's really at play. And they maybe hadn't considered that just above the scriptures where they're yelling, Hosanna, Hosanna, in the same Psalm 118, verse 22, it says, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. I started thinking about this probably on Friday, where I was thinking about this scripture, the stone, and then how Jesus said the stones will cry out. And I started thinking all these places that he uses stone references, and I thought it was like, there's something there. Maybe I'll talk about that another time. But during this triumphant entry, there's all-out celebration. It's loud, it's rowdy, there's music, people are singing, and it's downright fun. Except it's not fun if you're a Pharisee. Because now you're thinking, they think this is Messiah, and that's going to thwart our power and our authority. And so Luke 19, verse 39, some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, Teacher, order your disciples to stop. He answered, I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would cry out. This is in the moment that Keith Richards stood up and started playing Start Me Up. Such an interesting moment in history, though, when this is all happening, because everybody is misinterpreting the point. It's like showing up at a Taylor Swift concert and you're losing your mind because you're about to hear all her biggest hits and she starts singing Bob Dylan B-sides. I mean, they're better songs, but that's not why you're there. Someone's going to come after me. Imagine what must have been going through Jesus' mind. They're celebrating because they think I'm going to do something that I'm not here to do. They don't understand why I'm here at all. After 3 years of teaching and witnessing miracles, and I've healed some of these people, I've spent time, I've loved on them, and they think I'm here for revolution, for their revolution. Literally just washed my disciples' feet. I'm riding in on a donkey. I have shown them humility and peace. I have modeled the kingdom way for them. And they want violence. Luke 19:41. As he approached and saw the city, he wept for it, saying, "If you knew this day, what would bring peace? But now it is hidden from your eyes, for the days will come on you when your enemies will build a barricade around you, surround you, and hem you in on every side. They will crush you and your children among you to the ground, and they will not leave one stone on another in your midst, because you did not recognize the time when God visited you." In the midst of the party, in the midst of hearty celebration, Jesus is heartbroken. And again, in this crowd, some of these people who had witnessed, you know, they drank the wine. There used to be water. They could see him when before they were blind. Some of them had been the subjects of his miracles. Some were his friends. Some were followers. Some were just curious seekers. Others were skeptical or flat out despised him. But everybody was here watching. And Jesus was heartbroken. And in this moment, I think, why do we call it the triumphant entry? This was a day of mass confusion. There was no triumph in this. That's a very, you know, Christus Victor kind of mentality that whoever, you know, coined that phrase. It's very opposite, I think, of what's happening. Jesus is heartbroken. He kicks off Holy Week with all these emotions. The crowd is ready for violence, and Jesus says this day would bring peace. The crowd wanted freedom from Rome, but Jesus said he's bringing them freedom for their soul. The crowd cheered and jeered, and Jesus wept. The crowd thought this was their moment, and it so could have been if they just recognized why he was there. Man, I think just saying those words, and all these years later, I wonder all the time, how many times do we miss the point? How many times do we not realize why he's here? Or we put our expectations on him that he doesn't intend to fix for us? The triumphant entry doesn't feel triumphant. Holy Week doesn't feel that holy. It all feels messy and raw and real. It was messy for the disciples. I can't imagine also what was going through their mind. Is this good? Is this bad? I don't know. I don't know what's happening. It was messy for Jesus. It wasn't the crowd's best week either. They started out celebrating and ended up you know, yelling, shouting, demanding his crucifixion. And in 2024, in a world wrecked by war and lies and scandals and enough propaganda to confuse anybody, what does Jesus see when he looks over Upland or Genesis or my house? Now is the time of your visitation. Is he like, I'm here, put away your smartphone, go love your neighbor, in all the messiness of our lives? I wonder how often we miss the point. And maybe the point of Holy Week isn't, you know, this whole thing that we do, that the church has done for so long, isn't just to relive some same old stories, but the point is to lean into transformation, to live into God's story now. And I think about this symbolism kind of thing, right? Like a cross that once was a symbol for death and destruction and fear, and it has been transformed into a symbol for reconciliation. Like Peter denying Jesus three times, being transformed into Peter admitting his love for Jesus three times. Like a tomb, a symbol of the place of death being transformed into the birthplace of hope. When I was a kid, my mom drove a Pinto. Yeah, we were that family. We drove a Pinto for a long time. For as early as I can remember, that's the car that we would get in. And it was tight because there was five of us. My dad had a truck. My mom had the Pinto. And I loved that blue Pinto. I don't know why, but that was our car. And I was like, I love this car. And she drove it forever until my dad's aunt Florence passed away. And Florence, it's funny in hindsight, because she was this old lady with like doilies, and you know, she was like the lady. But she drove a Plymouth Duster muscle car. And we got the Duster. And my dad was stoked, my mom was happy, he had a bigger car, everybody was happy, and I cried. Because I didn't want to lose the Pinto. And, you know, the Duster was old when we got it because it was a classic, you know, a classic car. But at the same time, Aunt Florence never went anywhere. So it was like getting a brand new old car. And it was really nice. But I missed the Pinto. And I literally cried tears in my bed because I didn't want to get rid of it. We had been gifted a massive upgrade, and I didn't want to lose the comfort of the backseat of the Pinto, the only car I had ever known. See, I think when we talk about transformation in our own lives, I think we cling on to it like an old Pinto. We cling on to the stuff that we're familiar with. Do you feel that? I think that Holy Week is about transformation. And I think that God wants to work that in to us today in 2024 in Upland. God wants to gift you an upgrade. And so much of us wants to just cling on to the Pinto. Maybe you find yourself there this morning. What will we do? What can we do when we recognize our day of visitation? And what can we do as a church family to transform our city? I'm going to put those bugs in your ear so we can talk about it. But let's pray. Father, thank you for this time, this family. We lift up the Scotty family to you again, and we ask for their, I don't even know what to ask for, their comfort, their love for each other, just be in all of it, God. I don't even know what to ask. We pray that you would be with us as a church family, that you would unify us, that you would help us think big in God-sized thoughts. And let's talk through it. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I feel like we always do this at the end where it's like Sam is like the wise one and he offers some wisdom at the end and I'm just like, I'm done. But thanks, you guys. God bless you. Have a great week. Think about Holy Week throughout the week, all the different days and what they mean. And we'll meet next week. God bless you.
You've been listening to the official podcast of Genesis Community Church in Upland, California. If you've been encouraged, found hope, been challenged by what you've heard, we'd like to ask you to help spread the word by sharing our podcast with your friends and family. You can also help support our podcast by visiting us at thegenesisstory.com. It has been our pleasure to have you join us today, and we hope you'll tune in again next week.